Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bombshell yesterday dropped by Major League Baseball, and then Jim Crane following it up with a haymaker of his own that we heard just there. AJ Hinch and Jeff Luhnow fired as manager and general manager of the Houston Astros in the wake of the Major League Baseball sign-stealing scandal. Welcome in, everybody, on a Tuesday morning. What is going to be a pretty eventful show today, to be sure. My name is Sean Pendergast alongside Seth Payne. Seth, we just got done with the decade of 2010 through 2019. I was thinking about this on the way in. And we just got done with all of those decade summary type pieces where they're like top 10 story this, top 10 player that, this and blah, 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 all the lists. We're less than 2 weeks into 2020. This might already be the biggest story. 9 years from now, when we're doing all the same decade stuff over again, the biggest story of this decade might have happened in the first 2 weeks.
I wonder, though, you know, not to get too far off track on the actual main story, but I do wonder if 10 years from now we'll be talking about this as a 2020 thing. I think it's going to be a 2019. This will be the previous decade. We're all just, this right now is the epilogue to last year, to the last decade.
Yeah.
And this kind of puts a tidy little bow on it. We knew it was coming, and not in January of the new decade. Oh, yeah, by the way, everything you got super excited about from the previous year, that's going to be besmirched forever. And anytime you ever talk about the Astros to anybody anywhere, this is what you have to understand. For the rest of your life, when you get into little arguments with people in bars, you go to Disney World on vacation, and you talk to some schmuck from Boston, they're not even going to, they're gonna bring up, oh, yeah, 2017. Yeah, sure. But he was in the ALCS that year. That was when you guys were cheating and we weren't yet. Well, we were cheating, but we were just using an Apple Watch.
Yeah.
Maybe Boston was the wrong example to use here.
Yeah, we stopped by the postseason that year.
You go to
Y'all didn't.
You go to trash Disneyland out in L.A.
Yeah.
That's where you're really going to get into conversations
with
people. When you're sitting there at trash Disneyland, which is like 3% as good as Disney World, you're going to talk to a Dodgers fan that's going to tell you all about how you guys stole the World Series. And it'll never go away, ever.
Yeah.
Ever. This is like this is the damn Black Sox. It's not nearly as pernicious as what the Black Sox did, but it's going to endure an entire century.
Yeah.
It's Black Sox, steroid scandals, Astros 2017 World Series, they were stealing signs.
Yeah, no, if you were watching the TV yesterday, I for the first time in forever, I had the MLB Network on my TV for literally the entire afternoon. I can't remember the last time outside of postseason baseball that happened, and I had it running the whole time, and Seth, it was surreal. And just to give you the 30-second summary of the story, because I know there are some of you probably heard it, looked into it, maybe you want some of the high points of the whole thing. AJ Hinch and Jeff Luhnow, not only suspended by Major League Baseball for a year, but Jim Crane came in and just dropped the hammer. He fired both of them yesterday, which I think surprised a lot of people, the reaction to that. So the Astros, the findings of Major League Baseball were that this sign-stealing thing they were doing with the garbage can, which we've talked about ad nauseum on this show, they kept doing it even after Major League Baseball told people to stop doing it. In September of 2017, Rob Manfred sent a memo around to Major League Baseball after the Red Sox Apple Watch scandal saying, do not do this anymore or it's going to come down. And he specified on the head of the manager and the general manager if indeed teams are still doing this. And the Astros kept doing it. They kept doing it in September. They kept doing it in the postseason. And to your point, Seth, that's why the postseason is always going to be a point of contention for people. If you get into a barroom argument about where these Astros and where this championship window lines up, and boy, it'd be a really interesting argument if they'd actually closed out the World Series this year without doing any of that stuff, allegedly. But it will forever be part of the story. It was surreal yesterday to watch on MLB TV, Seth, to see AJ Hinch's name alongside some of the biggest cheats in the history of baseball at the managerial position.
And
Luhnow as well.
And AJ Hinch was very cooperative in the investigation, according to Manfred, and he expressed remorse over what he had done, but he knew about it. Oddly, at two different occasions, supposedly smashed monitors because he disapproved of it so much, yet never actually said to any of the players, hey, stop doing this. It's a, I honestly, that's one of the weirdest parts of this whole report for me. is where exactly did AJ Hinch get so irate that he smashed monitors twice and yet never bothered to tell the players, hey, stop doing this? And he admitted to never telling the players to stop doing it.
Yeah, well, I mean,
and the players, by the way, no punishments for the players. There are players on the Astros right now who did this, and most importantly, did it after Manfred told them to stop doing it, that were the ones on the ground doing the cheating, yeah. You know? And that's where, because of a collective bargaining agreement and other reasons, I guess the players aren't going to be punished, but they can punish the general manager. They can punish the manager.
Manfred talked about the impracticality of punishing a bunch of players. You know, like what do you do? Suspend a bunch of players and you have a team that's gutted for the entire season. Some might say, that's the answer.
I think there are a lot of other fan bases who, by the way, those other fan bases need to be careful about what they wish for.
Right.
Because there are multiple people said that Astros believed at least seven other teams were doing this. And I don't bring that up to excuse it at all. Right. They did it really. And it sounds like something that was conceived of, you know, by Beltran, and Alex Cora, the bench coach, was the only coach who's explicitly named here. And they did it. It was doing it beyond the September 15th ultimatum from Rob Manfred, where Manfred's put in a position where he says, look, I'm the commissioner of this league. You guys flat out disobeyed a direct order
in the postseason,
right?
That you ended up winning the World Series in.
And you ended up doing it the next year, too.
That's right.
We can't let this stand. As far as Crane goes, I do wonder exactly how much of him firing Crane and Luno was part of a package that was presented to him by Major League Baseball.
Interesting.
It's just the rumors I'd heard about Luno's suspension were that it was going to be way more than 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if almost in a lot of ways, maybe Crane was being merciful by firing those guys, and that punishments might have been worse if he hadn't done that.
Here's Jim Crane on why he decided to fire A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luno.
Well, I felt that with what came out in the report, they both had responsibilities, Jeff running the baseball operation and overseeing A.J. and all of those people associated with that. And A.J. on the bench and was aware, if you read the report, it's pretty clear. A.J. Didn't endorse it, and neither did Jeff. Neither one of them started this, but neither one of them did anything about it. And that's how we came to the conclusion.
So there you go. Yep. I mean, they were both, A.J. Hinch especially, complicit in it, and that he didn't stop it. Luno denies knowing anything about this.
And this is interesting because in the report, it very clearly says that Luno did know and ignored the things that he was told. Luno dismisses that. Hinch takes full responsibility for what it's worth. I'm a sinner like everybody else. I try not to judge people. I feel bad for Hinch, and I don't know. I'd like to think I would have done differently in the same situation, but I think he got in that classic bind where his players were doing something, and maybe he felt like other teams were doing it too, and he tried to take a see no evil, hear no evil approach more than anything.
Bill Branch, you just walked up to the mic and said, hello, everybody. Redacted. Any questions?
Hello, everybody. Did you see what happened to the Astros? See ya.
Well,
I assume none of you actually want to ask me real football questions,
right.
I'm just going to let you get back to your jobs.
So Bill O'Brien's the happiest person on earth that this news came down with the Astros yesterday, because it completely distracts everybody from the stink that was put out on the field on Sunday from all the questions swirling around him. When we went to bed on Sunday night, Seth, when we all went to sleep, I'm sure we all woke up on Monday morning saying, you know what? Some head coach / manager is going to get fired today, and it's going to be A.J. Hinch.
The firing, we were waiting to punish. I guess we had never really – had it ever entered your mind that guys might get fired over this?
I assumed
there would be a punishment, and then there you go. I wonder, too – look, Luno, as we know, he's bringing the Houston Open back to the city proper of Houston.
The Crane, yeah.
And what did I say?
Luno.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Crane, but it's going to be that kind of day already. We've got legal things we need to chat about here.
I normally wouldn't jump in like that, but
please,
I want to make
sure.
Please.
Yeah. No, oh, by the way, that should be a standing rule. Always jump in.
Okay.
I mess names up enough that I don't want to go to bed knowing that I messed up something stupid like
I'll
that.
I'll only jump in if it significantly changes the narrative, yeah.
So,
the golf tournament.
So when porn star Lila Jones, the owner of the Astros, said yesterday that she was going to fire Jeff Luno.
Right.
No, but when Jim Crane fires Jeff Luno and goes up and gives a press conference by himself, to his credit, he just got up there, didn't have a lawyer by his side or anything like that. He looked genuinely upset about everything that had happened. I wonder if the fact that he's so big into golf, and golf is such a self-policing sport and it's taken very seriously, despite numerous, despite all the evidence that CEOs who play golf cheat like the Dickens, he might be one of the ones that doesn't and actually takes it very seriously.
That's a nobody's talking about right there. I've not heard that angle to the crane firing of Luno and Hinch.
This is a victory for the sport of golf. I bet there's a bunch of golfers out there. Honestly, I swear, because like the ones who take it really serious, like the kinds of people that call in rules violations when they see him on TV, I wonder if they do think, back me up on this or tell me I'm crazy, golfers out there, like really, really pro golfer types. Is it that is part of it that maybe he would feel it worse because he's just very, very, very deep in golf? That it's a, and that's kind of part of the ethos of golf, that you don't do stuff like this.
It's an interesting question. So in looking at the two guys that got punished, Seth, Hinch and Luno, I'm looking at how these guys come off. Look, neither of them have met with the media yet. They've just put out statements. And we know what's in the report. It's about a 9-page report. If you're a big Astro fan, I would encourage you reading it. It's unlike things like the Mitchell report and these other investigations that go on that are like 50 pages, it's a quick read and it's a good summary.
You know what? Major League Baseball did something right here.
It's the coffee bean of reports.
Yes. It's a hardcover pamphlet.
It is.
I could probably pick this up at the airport.
You could.
You know what I see? I go at the airport and I'm like, I'm looking for something light to read. And there's that Mitchell report. I'm like, no, what the hell?
Yeah.
I'm not reading the Mitchell
it's
report.
Like a damn phone book.
On my flight to Orlando.
That's right. So I don't know how you feel about it, Seth. To me, the two main players in this thing, Hinch and Luno, I think Hinch, I believe Hinch. Let me put it this way. The way that Hinch and Luno come off in these two things, I think are a microcosm of how both of them came off during the Brandon Taubman thing. When the Brandon Taubman situation rose up, and if you remember, assistant GM Brandon Taubman, who, by the way, is also suspended for a year, and they made it clear in the report it had nothing to do with this sign-stealing thing, they just waited to punish Taubman for his actions where he walked up to some female reporters and essentially flaunted the Roberto Osuna trade right in front of him. It was like, figuratively, like crotch-chopping in front of him, like, yeah, Osuna, woo! They ended up punishing him, same punishment as Luno. And Hinch, he's out of baseball for a year, but they made it very clear it was solely because of his conduct after the ALCS in the clubhouse. So, but I think the way that Hinch and Luno come off in the report, in their statements, I think are similar to how both came off in the wake of the Brandon Taubman situation, where if you remember, Jeff Luno was part of a management team that is going to get painted with the stink of accusing the reporter of fabricating the report. And then having to take up for this employee who started the whole thing, like the executive portion, you know, not executive Crane, but like that Luno part of the organization, the baseball operations part, came off looking horrible in the Taubman situation. Hinch came off looking like a completely self-aware, contrite, our clubhouse is supposed to be a place where people are welcome in here and things like that. I think that Luno and Hinch come off looking that way in the report and in their statements yesterday. I think Hinch comes off, look, Hinch should have done something about it. I'm a little sympathetic to him just because he does seem to be contrite about it, and maybe I'm biased that I like AJ Hinch. Luno comes off looking slimy in this whole thing, man. Luno's statement is pointing fingers. It's I didn't know anything.
Yeah, Luno,
especially when the report says they think he did know something.
No, and Luno, this goes back to hey, the statement that was issued after the Sports Illustrated writer or the New York Times writer, the writer
SI.
Wrote about the incident in the clubhouse after Game 6. Like this is. That's consistent with Luno. That's consistent with Luno, you know, kind of taking a snide, turn up your nose at everybody else approach about baseball and the rest of the world. Like, well, no, I'm not a dirty, stinking cheater. Not like Hinch and those other people.
It's basically you know? What he said.
Yeah, just like they said, well, of course we didn't do this. We had an investigation which we asked nobody.
If I'd known anything, he says this in his, I'm paraphrasing, but he says this, Luno does, in his statement that he put out yesterday. Had I known anything about it, I surely would have put a stop to it. He almost Southern belled the whole thing, Seth. If you want, well, surely if I had known there was signs to
it. If I had known when there were signs, you know, and I would have put an end to it immediately. Toot sweet. Yeah.
Right. Do you think both of these guys, Hinch and Luno, do you think they work again?
Yeah, I think so.
Who's more likely to work sooner?
I think ironically,
they're both done through the 2020.
There's
World
nothing
Series.
Ironic about this. I think Luno probably works sooner because Luno can be somewhat behind the scenes and still very valuable to an organization. Maybe he only works as a consultant.
Yeah.
But I think teams are going to be very wary of bringing somebody in that has this stain of a cheater and bring that into their organization. The guy, where's the guy from the Cardinals? He's still in jail, isn't he?
Correa?
He
get I'm out not sure yet? If Correa's still in
is
jail.
Is Correa still in the clink?
Yeah, I don't
know. I'm sure he's doing hard time in some maximum security place.
Yeah, banging out license plates, I'm sure.
Yeah, up in Oklahoma or something.
Right.
So I think that I would imagine, Luno, look, aside from this right here, which was cheating, plain and simple, everybody knows that the Astros have done a whole lot of legitimate stuff in terms of team building, in terms of use of technology, scouting, all that. And nobody will ever be able to take that away from Luno. I think he gets to use that again. Let's see. As far as Hinch goes, yes, Hinch will work again. Will he be a manager? I doubt it. But I would go to Mark McGwire and other guys who were very notably part of the steroid scandal. They're working in baseball.
Yeah.
You know, McGwire had been out of the public eye for a good time before he went back in. And people are going to make jokes and write about it and everything. But, I mean, he's still there. People recognize him for what he is.
I think there's a much better chance that Hinch winds up working in his previous vocation. Like, I guess my question would be, when does Hinch become a manager again? When does Luno become a general manager again? I just feel like there's a chance Jeff Luno might not become a general manager again at some point. Like you said, there's a lot of things he could do where he maybe doesn't have that title. I do feel like A.J. Hinch is a guy who's going to be able to clean this thing up. I think Hinch is a likable enough guy. I think he's a smart enough guy. I think he's a good enough manager that he and we have such short memories with this stuff now, man. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like we're like forgiveness is a hobby now when it comes to America. So I think Hinch I think he'll manage again sooner than we all think. I thought it was an interesting angle you brought up in a text message here. Seth, scratch golfer here. Great point, Seth. Dad was a golfer, taught me a valuable lesson on the course. Don't lie or cheat on the course or in life.
Well, and our friend Jackie Goss points out also, though, that Jim Crane was also a baseball player, and baseball pushes the envelope a little bit more than golf. It's not quite on the honor system.
That's a good point.
So there's somebody, but I don't, it's all intertwined in this very hazy mix. The real victims here, Sean, I think as everybody will agree, there'll probably be pieces written about it in the Houston Chronicle today, are you and I.
Yeah.
Because there are somebody this morning, one of the first things I see is a told you so on this morning, because it was somebody that apparently texted back in November where I had, this is where, to the best of my memory, this is how I've treated it the whole time. I felt like they did it. And early on, you and I were getting, a lot of our listeners were angry at us because we were so easily saying, look, it looks pretty clear that they did it. There were just too many witnesses right from the very start. And Mike Fiers was too explicit for it to be false. But I didn't think that, I thought that because other teams were doing something of the sort, that baseball was going to be measured in their response. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect it to be quite as severe a penalty. And I didn't expect the stigma to be as harsh as it was.
Well, and that gets to the question, and we'll get to the report itself here in just a second. If you're looking to get the bullet points so you can go into the office today and sound smart talking about this, Seth and I are going to spend a few minutes in this segment. We've got a nice long segment here where we'll go through the high points of the report so you can speak intelligently about this, and also a few funny things that happened in the report as well. It's only a 9-page report. We've got the highlights sort of carved out here to share with you. But as long as you're touching on that, Seth, this is a question that we haven't asked on the air yet on the show, and I think it's a big question, is how does this affect the 2017 World Series championship for you? I'm not talking about how it affects it with the masses, because you're right. It will always be, at a minimum, even for the most avid, diehard Astro fan, it's going to be a footnote for sure. And for a lot of people who don't have a dog in the fight, it's going to be the story with the 2017 Astros. How does it affect it for you?
It's going to come up in conversation. Yeah. This is what I want to believe. And I honestly, I'm going to be completely forthright with you, is that I'm going to have to process this over the next couple of weeks. What I want to believe is that they were good enough to win the World Series in 2017 anyway. And what I would say, if I were making that argument, is that, look, they continued doing it in 2018. They stopped doing it because they've realized that they claim they weren't getting anything out of it. Multiple players said they just stopped because it didn't seem to be working. So my big question is, did they realize that it really wasn't working and never had been working? Or was it that by 2018, teams had taken measures to combat this? I'd love to see what the average time between pitch for opposing pitchers was in 2018 versus 2017. You know, if pitchers in 2018 were being extra careful, changing up the signs more often, number of mound visits, whatever it might be,
yeah,
it might be as simple as that. You look at game 3 and game 5 where the Astros kind of had their way with Dodgers pitchers at home. It's hard to believe that this didn't have some small part of it. So I fully think that they were good enough to win a World Series, but as we know, just from this past World Series, it's a razor's edge. Every little bit helps.
Well,
you know?
This past World Series, and I know they didn't win the World Series, but they could have won the World Series. Like, it was a coin flip at the end, and things went better for the Nationals over the last three innings than the Astros. It's clearly a team that's good enough to win a World Series without doing that, right? And I know there were different players on the team in 2019 than there were in 2017. The bottom line is both were very, very good to great baseball teams. So do I think they could have won it in 2017 without doing any of that stuff? Absolutely, I feel that way. To me, it's going to be more of a nuisance than it is something that affects my enjoyment of the title. The thing that's going to affect my enjoyment of the title is what you talked about in the open of this show. Is that any time it now gets brought up in conversation with anybody that doesn't have the Astros as a dog in the fight, it's anytime that World Series comes up, that's going to get brought up.
So Game 3. Yu Darvish got shelled for 4 runs in the second inning of the World Series. Mm-hmm. And remember what the rumor was after the year was that, a veteran Astros player knew that Darvish was tipping pitches and clued the Astros in on it. And a lot of people believed that veteran player was one Carlos Beltran.
Right.
Now it turns out that Carlos Beltran was the ringleader, or at least one of the guys that started off the high-tech sign stealing.
Yep.
So how much of it was that it was sign stealing that Carlos Beltran started? How much of it was that if Darvish was tipping pitches and they were doing it the old school honest way, there's no big deal. If they were also using their video monitors to relay information to the clubhouse at that point, then it's obviously a big deal.
My counterpoint to that would be that Darvish got shellacked in Game 7 as well, which was in Dodger Stadium.
Right. But if they had already gleaned information, I suppose.
Maybe.
That's a very good point, Sean.
You can't bang the garbage can
very
in
good,
Dodger Stadium.
Very good point. Thank you for that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I told you it was going to take me a couple weeks to process.
It's all good, man. There's a lot of layers to this thing, man.
Now that's it for me. I'm done. All right, no big deal here with the scandal. Everything's cool. Seth's gonna live the rest of his life basking in the glory of 2017.
All right, so about the Texans, we'll get into the report here in just a second. But we talked about Luno. We talked about Hinch, how it affects them. Just a couple other things here before we get into the report itself, Seth. Alex Cora is gonna get popped. He is gonna get popped hard by Major League Baseball. This is my prediction. Worse than Luno and Hinch. And if you read the report, they're tabling Alex Cora right now because they're doing an investigation of the Red Sox 2018 activities. Alex Cora has a chance to be the mastermind behind the Astros sign-stealing scandal and the manager of the team that allowed it to go on with the Red Sox. Two teams, by the way, that won the World Series.
Yeah.
The Astros won it in 2017. The Red Sox won 108 games in the World Series in 2018.
That's the one silver lining here, is that at least we're not going to hear it from Red Sox fans.
No.
If they try, you're going to be able to have.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing that came out of this is seemingly Alex Cora might be the one guy who kept trying to lie to investigators. It seemed like there was a lot of cooperation by everybody else.
Could you see Cora getting a lifetime ban?
Oh.
One is the mastermind with the Astros. Yeah. One is the manager of the Red Sox. Not cooperative in the investigation. I could see Cora getting a lifetime ban.
He's the only
one of those lifetime bans where you can apply in a few years to get back in, but it'll be couched initially as a lifetime ban.
He's the only person who is named. He's the only coach named in any of this. Beltran was a player at the time, obviously.
The time, yeah.
So he's the only coach that did it, and then did it with two teams. He's the Johnny Appleseed of electronic sign stealing.
He is. He's the mastermind. I think he's going to get drilled in this thing.
Johnny Appleseed, because he's taking it and he's sprinkling
all over the
land.
If he had
gone off to another team, then they would have right. started doing it too. Yeah.
You bring up Beltran. That's another name that I wanted to bounce off of you. What are they saying in New York today about their new manager of the New York Mets?
What are they saying about the new manager of the Mets? What are we feeling here in Houston? How do we feel? Have we taken yet another turn in the road for how we feel collectively about Carlos Beltran?
Not me.
No?
No.
He was doing, it takes some of the shine off of, hey, yeah, Beltran came in and he's this great vet and he provided leadership that they didn't have before. That's the difference between 2015 and 2017. Leadership.
Yeah.
And also being the ringleader of a sign-stealing scheme.
Maybe some of it for me is I wasn't as mad as everybody else was at Carlos Beltran to begin with.
Yeah, you're more bad at Boris, right? Was Boris his agent? When the first time around, when he left town?
He may have been.
And he strung the Astros out?
He used the Astros, yeah. So I wasn't as mad at him about all that stuff to begin with. So the snapback effect of being mad at him again just doesn't do it for me. We haven't mentioned the draft picks either. The Astros are getting docked 2 first-round picks each of the next two. Let me back up. They're getting docked their first-round pick in the 2020 and 2021 draft, as well as their second-round pick in the 2020 and 2021 draft. So basically, it's like they traded for Laremy Tunsil, is basically what just happened. Major League Baseball just issued a Laremy Tunsil trade on the Astros, except they don't get anything in return for losing their draft picks. So now we root for 3 teams here, Seth, that have gutted their drafts for the next several years. The Texans don't have a first-round pick the next 2 years. The Astros don't have a first or a second-round pick the next 2 years, both for entirely different reasons. And then the Rockets have traded a bunch of their first-round equity in the Russell Westbrook trade. We'll learn more about what the draft pick part of it means later in the show. We've got Jim Callis coming on, who's a minor league baseball expert, who will, at 9 o'clock on the show, to kind of let us kind of shape for us what exactly the draft capital means. But for a team, Seth, that is up against the luxury tax, for a team that loves to have those young players either to supplement their roster or to trade to go get veteran guys, that feels like a huge hit to me. Like the lifeblood of the Astros right now is their core that they've assembled. So they're going to be fine in 2020 and 2021. They're still going to be really good even without A.J. Hinch as their manager. But their ability to add players to a roster that's going to be hovering around $200 million in payroll, the ability to add young, cheap talent to it, the ability to have young, cheap talent to trade to go maybe get that last piece to get a World Series, took a monster hit yesterday.
Well, yeah. There's a whole lot more pressure on Greinke at this point. Hey, Greinke. Hey, this thing that happened all before you ever got here and stopped being, you were the last. We shot our last wad of ammunition on you, and our pipeline is bereft at this point.
Yeah.
So just go ahead, and you got to be a Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah, pretty
okay?
much.
Sound cool? And whichever manager, I guess it's time to bring in Luke Walton. Yeah. I think Luke Walton can manage this team.
Luke Walton can manage this team
just like he did when
39-4. So we're talking obviously heavily this morning about Jeff Luhnow and AJ Hinch fired as the general manager and the manager of the Astros.
You know, that's the other side of this is, okay, Joe Espada is probably going to be I almost said interim manager, but I'm still operating in this weird world where I'm thinking in terms of interim. There is no interim. This is you're building again from the ground up. And yesterday, Jim Crane said, hey, we have people that can fill these roles in various spots. I think they're interim. And maybe they're on a probationary basis until they see what happens. But I wonder if Jim Crane also, for as upset as Jim Crane looked about it, if he's genuine in his being upset about it, then he still has players on this team that did it that have gone unpunished. And he has people in the organization that likely knew about it too. So I wonder how much that affects his decision-making on whether they get the job of GM or head coach or anything.
That's a good point. There's the practicality of it too, Seth, which is we're 4 weeks away from pitchers and catchers. You know, how long does it take to burn in a manager? You know, is a manager something you can hire a week before spring training and just have them come in and all of a sudden say, hey guys, here's your new boss, for a team that expects to go back to the World Series? This team, firing AJ Hinch and Jeff Luhnow is a big deal. Don't get me wrong. It is a big deal. In large part, the history of it, that this is sort of an unprecedented thing, is a big deal. But it's a big deal for the Astros, too. But make no mistake, the Astros are still one of the 3 or 4 best teams in baseball heading into 2020. So I do wonder what the practicality is of going out and finding a new manager in what's really going to be a rushed kind of hiring thing, as opposed to Espada, as you just mentioned, who's been in that, you know, he's been in that clubhouse, he's been in that dugout, yeah. The players know him. I wonder how much he's going to involve the key members of the core members of the team, like Altuve and Springer and Verlander and guys like that, when it comes to, okay, what do you guys think is the best thing for this team?
You know what I'm going to do right here? I'm going to do something that this person didn't expect at all, probably, because he thought he's going to get the benefit of not being included in conversation for a couple days. Bill O'Brien. When Bill O'Brien took the job at Penn State, so Penn State was facing sanctions, and Bill O'Brien knew it, but he was a bright young coach that was going to get his shot at getting that thing on his resume, that head coaching position on his resume. So he took it, and then sanctions got worse, and it made it really miserable. I can't foresee sanctions. I think this is going to be the end of the story, because baseball won't stop bragging about how extensive this investigation was. This will be the end of the sanctions. Whoever takes the job knows that he gets a little bit of a free pass in that, all right, you expect there's going to be a step backwards on some level and that you're going to have to work your way through it. I don't worry about the manager as much because we know in baseball, a manager can be the difference between winning a World Series at a Game 7 or not, but it's rarely the difference between, you know, having a winning season and having a losing season. I'm not as concerned about that. I'm concerned about the general manager.
Yeah, no, if you're asking me, if whoever the new guys are, manager, general manager, who's stepping into the more desirable job, it's clearly the manager. The manager's stepping into one of the three or four best rosters in baseball for 2020. Whoever is the manager of this team, this may be their greatest chance to win a World Series is managing the 2020 Astros. Whoever the general manager is, Seth, is walking into a situation where you have an owner who it's going to be really tough to spend more than he already has. This is a team that's now in trying to retain player mode as opposed to trying to get player mode. That's tough. And you're walking into a situation where you don't have your first or second round draft picks the next 2 years. The GM job is a much harder job for whoever it is they hire coming in. So the report itself, let's just hit some of the high points for the report so we can make some of our listeners smarter as they go into the office today.
It's so easy to get sidetracked on every little part of all this. Yeah, apologize, Sean.
That's okay. That's why I want to hit some of these bullet points here. So just so you know what exactly was going on with the Astros, in 2017, according to the report, this all started with video replay room employees, like lower-level guys who they have a video replay room, and they concocted a system with Alex Cora where they looked at the signs that the catcher was flashing, and initially it wasn't the garbage can banging thing. It was the video replay room employees relaying signs to the dugout via phone, via text message to Cora. They would relay it to runners on second base who would then signal to the hitters what pitch was coming. So it was an intricate thing, but you needed a runner on second base, essentially, to execute it. 2 months into 2017, Carlos Beltran was the brains behind streamlining the whole thing and saying, look, we can do this to where you don't need any runners on base to know what pitch is coming. We'll just bang on this garbage can with somebody standing next to the monitor, and you just got to listen for the number of bangs to know what pitch is coming. So Beltran, Cora started it.
They used a massage gun, too.
They did.
Those cool massage guns you guys see on the sidelines of games where it's like hammering away.
Yes.
It's high-tech, baby.
They use that as well.
That's probably Correa. That's probably the same damn massage gun that broke Correa's ribs.
It might be. So Cora kind of started it. Beltran kind of streamlined it. Like, Beltran improved it. August 2017 is when the Red Sox got pinched for using Apple Watches to convey signs to their players on second base and steal signs. September 15th, 2017 is when the commissioner, Rob Manfred, issued the memo with the warning that if you do this anymore, there will be stiff punishment, and the punishment is going to get hit on the manager and the general manager. Do not do this anymore. This is the biggest issue here for the Astros. They continued to do this after that memo came out. For the rest of 2017, they did it through the postseason. They wound up winning the World Series. In March of 2018, Joe Torre, who is he's got a role with Major League Baseball where he helps mete out discipline, he did another memo reiterating what Manfred had said in September of 2017, telling teams again, don't do this. What did the Astros do? They continued to do it into 2018. Seth, as you mentioned, it eventually petered out. They eventually stopped doing it. They'll say they stopped doing it because it didn't work. Who knows? The bottom line was they didn't do it in the 2018 postseason, and they did not do it at all in 2019.
Which is important because I see some people have already forwarded me, well, hey, look, they only, in the last two World Series, they only won two home games. Yes, those were in the series in which Major League Baseball says they cheated.
That's right.
This year, they weren't. There was no evidence they were doing it this year.
Yeah.
And Major League Baseball got really progressively more vigilant about monitoring the monitors and whatnot. So there's all of that. The question as to whether or not it worked, the Astros willingly stopped doing it on their own in 2018 because they said it wasn't working. The big question is, okay, was it not working because it never worked, or was it not working because other teams had caught on? I'm guessing it's the latter. They wouldn't have continued doing it in late September if they felt it wasn't working.
Funny you should bring up the nervousness of teams being onto them. In the report, and we saw this John Boy video of Danny Farquhar of the White Sox hearing the garbage can banging and bringing his catcher out and saying, dude, they know something here. You can find that video anywhere online. It's mentioned in the report. This is from the report, directly from the report. Several players told my investigators, this is Manfred talking here, that there was a sense of panic in the Astros dugout after White Sox pitcher Danny Farquhar appeared to notice the trash can bangs. Before the game ended, a group of Astro players removed the monitor from the wall in the tunnel and hid it in an office. For the postseason, they put a portable monitor on a table to replace the one that was wall-mounted. And so they, so it's, yeah, you know, so that after the game, they could just pick up the monitor and move it somewhere else and go, what system?
They also disguised one as a pizza box. That's yes. Where John Boy had a few good videos and then completely destroyed his credibility with other videos. But the ones that were correct, I'm sure he'll claim victory for those ones that were correct. He did also call a pizza box a TV monitor at one point.
Yes,
or a laptop.
He did. Yeah. I want to ask you what you think about this, because Manfred decided to just do a drive-by on the Astros culture at the end of this report.
Mm-hmm.
Had nothing to do with the punishment.
And I don't think it was a drive-by. I think this is how he is justifying saying that Luno is responsible, even if he's claiming that he didn't know.
Okay.
This is why Luno's responsible.
That's a good way to look at it. Here's what he said. While no one can dispute Luno's baseball operations department is an industry leader in analytics, it's very clear to me the culture of baseball operations manifesting itself in the way its employees are treated, its relations with other clubs, its relations with the media and external stakeholders has been very problematic. At least in my view, the baseball operation department of the Astros' insular culture, one that valued and rewarded results over all other considerations, combined with a staff of individuals who often lacked direction or sufficient oversight, led at least in part to the Brandon Taubman incident, the club's admittedly inappropriate and inaccurate response to the Taubman incident, and finally to an environment that allowed the conduct described in this report to have occurred. So basically they're saying the Astros baseball operations, while successful in the win-loss column and in postseason, was a nightmare in terms of dealing with human beings.
Well, and I don't think that comes as a surprise or a shock to anybody. The question still becomes, okay, wait a second. Is it that you guys are outsiders and annoying? Is that reason or justification for the punishment? That's where I would say there's a little bit of an NCAA vibe there, is there not? That this is a culture violation, that an institution is responsible for the culture, and that you can be responsible even if an athletic department doesn't do something directly, if they create a culture where it's possible, then the NCAA will punish somebody. The other
lack
thing,
of institutional control is what they call that.
Institutional control,
in the NCAA,
that's right.
Yeah.
So that's what they would call it here.
Yes.
Manfred probably
100%.
Had. I bet he had that lack of institutional control written at some point, and somebody said, "Hey, that sounds too much like the NCAA." And the NCAA, you know what they do? They strip titles.
Yeah.
Then nobody wants that. And I'm getting a bunch of people saying, "Hey, Seth, they should strip this title."
Let's talk about that in the next.
Yeah,
segment.
That's a whole separate. That's a whole separate deal.
Yeah,
and yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah, let's get to that in the next segment. Let's also get to one other part of the report that is probably more funny than it is. Oh, okay. Well, then we get to this part. We got a couple minutes here. The part you mentioned this earlier, Seth, but I'll read exactly what it says in the report about AJ Hinch. About A.J. Hinch basically destructing private property.
Yeah.
A.J. Hinch attempted to signal his disapproval of the scheme by physically damaging the monitor on two occasions, necessitating its replacement. However, Hinch admits he did not stop it, and he did not notify players or Cora that he disapproved of it, even after the Red Sox were disciplined in September of 2017.
This is the strangest part of the entire ordeal for me, that Hinch apparently was angry enough about it or disapproved enough that he tried to subvert his own players' attempts to cheat by damaging a monitor, which I'm guessing the Astros had the financial resources to replace, and yet never actually told the players, "Hey, stop doing this." I don't understand this part of it at all. I'm like, not one tiny bit do I get exactly what's going on here.
AJ Hinch comes across as we all had this back in high school. You had those parents that when you were teenagers, they let their kid and their friends drink at the house, but they weren't totally approved. Like they wish they hadn't drank. You know, they wish they didn't drink at the house.
But if you're going to do it here, and it's safe.
They let them drink beer at the house, and you realize, I shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
But, you know, like it's dealing with not letting them do it. AJ Hinch feels like somebody that didn't want to deal with the players not being allowed to do this anymore.
You know what I also, and this is pure conjecture on my part, but I'm trying to think what the rationale is behind all this. I almost wonder if for him to not tell the players to stop, but to destroy the monitors, my first thought is, well, maybe he thought that in a specific at-bat, the sign stealing didn't work and he was angry about it. You know, and he destroyed the monitors because, screw you, you monitor. You screwed us. We thought we were getting a change up, and it was a fastball, so screw you, monitors.
Let me ask you this. When you read this in the report, you know, because our brain always colors in the rest of the picture. Yeah. All it says is that Hinch attempted to signal his disapproval by physically damaging the monitor on two occasions. What do you picture A.J. Hinch doing in your mind?
I picture the first image that jumps into my mind is that scene in Forrest Gump where the army officer starts pulling all the plugs as Forrest is up speaking. Forrest is speaking to the protest in Washington, D.C., and that angry officer is just yanking cord after cord.
Yanking all the wires.
Yeah.
I picture him taking a bat to it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because there's a bat sitting right there. Or a massage gun. Either a massage gun or a bat and destroying the monitor.
It's starting to make a little bit more sense because, okay, maybe Hinch knew this was going on. He was conflicted about it, but he felt like, all right, I'm going to let the players do what the players are going to do. But it just bubbled up sometimes to where he couldn't handle the frustration anymore and his conflicted feelings, so he just smashed something that was close to him.
All right.
Really, it's shocking to me because A.J. Hinch, I think, would likely pride himself on his ability to communicate with players. He's a psychology major, these things. But he himself was the tortured one.
Yes, indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.